Hi, welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired, break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to our We Mentor third mentoring session with Stephen Adams and John Fearing, co-owners of Moxie Hair Salon. Welcome, guys. Stephen and John have just completed the Self-Awareness Mentoring Journal. The purpose of the Self-Awareness Mentoring Journal is to help ground us by being able to check in with each other. This tool also creates an anchor for you to be in the present moment and share your authentic self. Our feelings will help guide our conversation as we go forward. So share whatever you feel is comfortable with, and why don't we start with John?
Okay.
How are you feeling?
Right now?
Yes.
I feel good. So emotions for inner peace, emotions that come to mind are joyful and happy. I think that's what pretty much everybody strives for. So that would be my idea of inner peace.
Yeah, so. Cool. And you're there today.
Right now I am, yeah. Feeling good. I'm happy.
Okay. Yeah. What else are you feeling?
Well, with the feelings of growing and challenges with that, with business, what Stephen and I, we talk about often is about, growing, and things that come to mind are feeling overwhelmed.
Sure.
Sometimes invested, especially thinking about that time and money and all the, that you're putting into it that you're afraid you can lose with
sure.
that as well.
Yeah.
Which brings into fear, fearful for that, especially, with other people relying on you. And that brings in pressure.
Yeah.
So.
Because you're hyper aware that you're responsible for
very much
people's
so.
Livelihoods.
Yeah.
And how many people's livelihoods are
three,
you?
Three, specifically. Well, four. I mean, I think about Stephen. Well.
What about yourself?
Yeah. But, really, honestly, I think about my family, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And, my business partner, and then my employees.
Yeah. And how many employees?
It's 35, roughly.
Plus their families. It's
plus
a lot of people.
Yeah,
it's a lot of pressure.
For mm-hmm. sure, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and
whatever you're comfortable with. So we have, just to let our audience, we're going to refresh their memory if they haven't downloaded the PDF file for Self-Awareness Mentoring Journal, is there's four categories. And so emotions of inner hurt are a place where you can expand your thoughts. This is a place where people like to increase their experiences that engage and amplify these feelings. And the second category that John was just referring to was some emotions of internal challenge and growth. Opportunities in which we can shift our perspective and attract more of what we want to strengthen who we are and continue to learn and grow. Every business owner, if they're not challenging themselves and if they're not feeling a bit afraid about what they're doing, I go through this too with the program
mm-hmm.
when we just aired.
Mm-hmm.
recently. Yeah. You don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
But what you do know is that you're going to do all the work that is necessary to plan and to think forward and to get as comfortable as you can with your feelings.
Right.
In yoga, we're always pressed to go to the edge of what's comfortable mm-hmm. for us. And I see that in business ownership every day, that we want to get to the edge. We don't want to go over the edge.
Right.
But that's why it's important for us to be talking about our emotions. Because this is a lot to hold in, and it's a lot to carry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the next category that you're about to share with us are emotions signaling inner hurt. And sometimes when these emotions come up, there's a need for us to do some healing or maybe forgiveness or reconnecting.
Yeah. And so what jumped out to me was angry, maybe because it's first on the list or not, but it just seems like that would be something that usually for me personally, that's something that I know that when I'm not feeling good, angry is part of that. Disappointed would be another one that I would circle on there, is that, you know, those are the kind of things that I feel like, you know, let self down, let other people down, or just things didn't turn out exactly as I planned. But I don't take those as negative things. It's just that's when I feel hurt, and then where do I go from there?
And so, where do you go from here?
Well, I just got to stop and kind of think about what I've done has been good and not okay. just focus on the negative. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to focus on the negative.
Absolutely.
So kind of just take a step back and say, hey, well, look what I've done so far, and these are some really good things. So from there, you know, try to build off those things and things that did work out and not let that stop you, mm-hmm. you know. But there's no sense in keep doing something either if it isn't working.
So, sure.
And that kind of comes into my next thing with when to stop. And the signals that you need to stop is when I feel irrational,
yeah,
annoyed,
okay,
unhappy. That goes personal and professional, especially in business. It's like when you feel like, you know, things should be going a certain way and they're not, and it's really easy to get frustrated. And,
yeah. So what would you like to see happen differently?
It really comes back to what we talked about the first session, was communication and just getting people to understand your goal is.
So can you bring it in a little bit closer? Is there something specific that would help with the communication so that you could figure out how you want to approach this?
Yeah, you know, just being honest, open as much as you can. I mean, you can't express that necessarily to all your employees, depending on what the issue is. Business partner is very important. First and foremost, I want to be honest and express my feelings to my business partner.
Yeah.
Because if you can't have an honest communication conversation with them, mm-hmm. it's really hard to build from there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean we always have to agree. It just means say, hey, this is how I feel about it.
Yeah.
So that, you know, we can find a place that we can start and then go from there.
Well, thank you for being really courageous to kind of put yourself out there.
No problem.
Who are you annoyed with?
Oh, everyone. Everybody. I mean, honestly, I mean,
yeah.
You know, I get annoyed with my little girls, you know, at times, yeah. You know, it's just in general, everybody can, you know, annoy you one way or another. But you got to realize, you know, what's causing that. It might not necessarily be them. It just might be the place you're in, your mindset and where you're at. And you just
are you more annoyed because you're feeling sick too? Is that part of it? Or is this just,
well, yeah, I mean, being sick, if you don't know, I have a cold right now, but you know, yeah, it's, you know, yeah, it just depends where you're at, you know? I don't really know how to elaborate on that, except that it's just easy to get annoyed. Everybody gets annoyed. It's a very natural thing. It's just how you respond to that. Yeah. And in the past, I think I was more reactionary and not so much step back and, you know, excuse myself and, you know, just, you know, breathe.
Yes.
Yoga, whatever.
Right.
Breathing, excusing yourself, you mm-hmm. know, and realizing that sometimes what you're getting upset is not worth getting upset at all. And Steven has actually talked about that to me even this last year. It's just I've looked up to him in that way. It's just saying, don't, it's so easy to be negative. It's so easy to get things to bother you so much. And it's like you choose who you know, how you want to feel about it. Of course, even the most positive person is going to get annoyed. It's just how you're going to respond to it, you know? I'm sure I'm going to get annoyed many, many more times. I think it would be weird if I didn't, but it's how I'm going to react to it.
And how would you like to release it today, right now?
stop asking me questions. honestly, just be myself, relax, breathe, not be so worried about stuff, you know, all the time. You know, it's just a lot of things aren't worth being annoyed over. A lot of things aren't worth being worried over. And just kind of, you know, got to sometimes let things go. Not be so serious all the time.
Yeah, well, I can understand why you would be. I mean, you've got a lot of responsibility. A lot of people's lives are depending on you. And this is where, when we talk further in our conversation about the vision that you have, each of you, it might be different for Moxie Hair Salon. But I think we should just explore your different visions as far as we need to. We won't place a judgment because these are just ideas right now. And then we can sort them out a little bit later. But it's really important that you each have the opportunity to kind of share your full viewpoint and perspective and your ideas. And so as we go through the process of elimination, then we can figure out there's reasons why this idea might not work. Or maybe we need to reshape it in a different way. Maybe we need to figure out more about how things are going to cost. Or, you know, there's different things that come up where our ideas just won't work. And if we understand why it won't work, then it's easier to kind of let it go. But it's we don't want to get too invested in your vision if you're at different places right now with it, because it may be premature to have that emotional attachment to it. And then you get behind it and you start advocating for it. We might just want to take a step back and sort it out a little bit more thoroughly than that. Is there anything else you would like to share about... I'm glad that you're taking time to stop and to talk and acknowledge that you're feeling this degree of emotion. I think it's a lot. It's big. I wouldn't dismiss it, any of it. Just allow yourself to feel. The way people can let their emotions rule them, that's not what you're doing. What we're doing is we're bringing forward and acknowledging these are legitimate feelings that I have. They just are what they are, and we can use them to inform us about the direction that we want to go with something. And you can then choose how, like you were talking about, how you want to handle yourself. So is there anything else you would like to share regarding this?
It's something you don't stop and think about all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So... it's good to do that.
Yes. And by the end of our session, you'll have a whole different set of feelings.
Yep.
Yippee. All right. Excellent. So, Stephen.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I'm doing pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad to be here. So.
Good.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm really glad you're here, too.
I almost forgot about it, but...
That's why you have a partner.
Exactly. So right now, I guess, emotions of inner peace. I'm trying to, so you kind of want me to just say what gives me inner peace?
If you have any feelings that, give you inner peace.
Oh, yeah. I think the first thing that always gives me inner peace is kind of like being aware. Just like aware of my surroundings, aware of what's going on, and just kind of like seeing how everything is. Other things, I have a curious mind, so I'm very curious about everything that's kind of goes on and kind of like watch what everybody's doing. But try to be really respectful in the fact to understand that even if it's people are doing things the way I don't want to do it, doesn't mean that it's wrong. And I think that's an important thing. And I also feel pretty joyful most of the time. I try to be as much as I possibly can. Same with just being really observant. I guess that kind of goes with being curious by just watching everything. But I try to be realistic about everything. So, like, as I'm looking at different ideas, I kind of want to see the realistic of it, not just the fantasy of it. Because sometimes when you get really crazy and, very optimistic, which is on there too, is I get optimistic and then I kind of like go off kilter, and then I have to like try to get realistic or regrounded back into.
Oh, I see. You go get overly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love working with John. John keeps me even more grounded because he uses his emotions to keep himself like grounded, and I'm kind of more flighty up. And so it kind of is a good balance. So yeah, I feel like I just try to keep everything happy, lighthearted, enthusiastic, optimistic. There's a gazillion of them. as for challenges and growth, opportunities to shift my perspective. I think one of the first things that I really, for myself, I try to deal with is just really striving for clarity. And this one's a difficult one for me, actually. So it's like I always try to like really strive for clarity. It's just kind of like something that I've found that communication comes from clarity. And so it's something that I really am always struggling with.
What are you trying to clarify right now?
What am I trying to clarify right now?
Yeah.
Just to make sure you understand where I'm coming from.
Okay. Okay. That's clear.
Is it?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yep.
I have no idea.
I'm totally with you on that.
Okay. Just like John was saying, invested, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely feeling invested. That's sometimes works with challenge and with growth. Courageous. I like to be very courageous. I'm willing to take risks, all the time. But I, too, just like John was saying, I feel a lot of the pressure, because you feel like you have all this pressure of all these people that are relying on you to continue, like, you know, for all kinds of reasons, for their jobs, for their opportunities, for, their livelihood.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that – and sometimes it's hard for me to be open and receptive,
okay,
you know, because sometimes I get stuck in my own way. It's like those are things that I see that are challenging, you know, but I feel like I'm pretty determined to like push through all that. And I feel like once you know what some of your challenges are, then it helps you like focus on them a little bit. emotional inner hurt. I was joking. Yes, I do feel physical pain, but that's not crazy, but it's just, I'm sore and tight today.
Working out again.
It was just working out. I didn't stretch this morning. Ian woke me up early. I think for me, the biggest thing is sometimes disappointment and being disappointed. And sometimes in myself, sometimes in the business, sometimes in with the people around me. But I think if I had to choose an emotion for like hurt, that would be it. Just because that's the one thing that I have a high expectation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that one really, I feel like I get disappointed because I'm not always where I want to be by the time I feel like I should be.
Okay.
So it's more of like self-hurt than anything.
Okay. You're disappointed in yourself?
Well, myself, but also because a business doesn't run just purely on one person, at least not in our business. So it's like, yeah. If it was just me, then I'd be in a little box by myself doing hair. But it's disappointment because sometimes how the business is where it's at,
yeah,
to where you want it to be. Sometimes it's not meeting your projections. Sometimes it's because you work with 10 different people and teach and train them, but they still don't get it, which goes back to trying to strive for clarity.
Okay. I get it.
So it's kind of inner hurt, that would be the one that I feel the most, is just like disappointment. emotions that always tell me when it's time to stop, though, there's quite a few of them too. One, when I start trying to fix other people. Okay. That's always a big one where I'm like, okay, it's time to fix you. I know I need to like take a break and just like, okay, cool it, you can't tell people what they should and shouldn't do.
Were you doing that today?
No.
No?
No, okay. Just in general.
It's your go-to place when you know.
When I know, when I see that, I'm like, okay, stop.
Yeah.
I also, when I look at one of myself and I'm like, okay, feeling over responsibility, you know, that the being too mm-hmm. much responsibility. I was feeling that yesterday, the over responsibility, but that one I kind of like, you just rebalance it and kind of like put priorities and determine what's, break it down to its simplest form. It really seems to help me a lot.
So that's why you strive for clarity a lot.
Probably.
Yeah, to manage your emotions.
Yeah. Keep everything, I guess.
To kind of keep it in perspective.
Yeah, just keep everything in perspective. Yeah. Break everything down to its simplest point.
Yeah.
Just really determine whether, you know, is it really worth it? Is there anything? I always say it's like, is there anything I can do about it?
Yeah.
If there is, then I should do something. If there isn't, well, then I should stop thinking about it and just move to the next thing.
Sure.
And people look at me sometimes and they're like, oh my God, he's so disorganized. But actually I have very like huge to-do lists and I keep them all in check and balance and try to like keep track of what I do. It's just, I multitask and I probably do way more than I probably should because I'm a control freak of some sort.
You're what?
A control freak.
Okay.
Of some sort.
So you try to control as much as you can?
Well, I don't try to. I try to give it up, but it's just, I've taught myself how to do everything.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, the website. I still manage, you know, all the websites. I manage all of our technical stuff.
Do you find it difficult to trust people?
No. I just get disappointed when they don't follow through. That's the biggest one.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So it's just sometimes easier just to do it myself because by the time I train somebody to do it, I could have done it 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And I know John has the same issues sometimes with, you know, like he'd rather do QuickBooks than me because by the time I got one entry in, he would have had like the whole year done.
I'm taking a course on with Brené Brown online. And it's called, she's written a number of books. The course is on Daring Greatly and Rising Strong. So the Daring Greatly part is trying to figure out how you can best lead and take risks. And she has this exercise on trust. Because we've got a lot on our agenda tonight, we can see where we're at. But if you guys want to continue the process, we can do an exercise that kind of unpacks different aspects of trust so that when you're in relationship with people, especially managing a lot of people, I didn't realize till I was taking this course that there's lots to, you know, developing trust with people. There's, you know, the boundaries and, there's a number of different things. Brené Brown talks about the vault, where you, when people, they need to be able to have confidence in you. And they want to know that what they share with you is going to stay in the vault. You're not going to be sharing it with other people. And other people aren't going to be sharing that with you. And I think that that would be really huge in the hair business because you're part of the hair experience is conversation and talking about things and knowing what to talk about and when. And
Oh, no, it's huge.
Yeah. Okay. But that's a whole session in itself that I think would be really good to work on.
Yeah.
Very informative. All right. So we've finished checking in. You guys feel pretty grounded now? You feel in your feet?
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate you allowing yourselves to be vulnerable on air. It's not only courageous, but it's also you're opening your heart through the experience. And I really appreciate that and am very respectful that you're doing that. So the next part of our session is kind of moving into some things to resolve regarding your business and to brainstorm and think about and discuss. Okay. So what are some of the progress updates since our last episode?
Well, let's see. Where do you want to start? Well, we went on our retreat.
Yeah. You and John, your business planning retreat?
Yep, we went to our little business planning retreat. And it was actually really cool. We went and we went out to San Francisco. And we looked at how many salons?
Three?
I don't know. Three salons, and we peeked into lots of windows. So
okay.
And we peeked into quite a few windows. And we did stop at three salons, talk to either the manager or if the owner was around, talk to the owner. And it was just good for John and myself to see other salons in action. We happened to go on it was a Saturday, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So everybody was busy. So we got to see everything moving just like it normally would be on a regular day, which was really awesome. And we walked a lot, and we just got to tour the city and just kind of see the feel and the layout. Then we came back, and then we talked about pretty much what we saw, how we felt, how it related, what their salons did, how that related to our salon, and just kind of like a check-in. Like, what are they doing? What are we doing? How is that working? What works for them? What's working for us?
And what did you find that's working the best for you guys?
Well, I feel that I really feel like our team, like our structure of our company is actually really solid. Okay. That was like one of the things that I really got out of it. It's like, you know, one of the other salons that we looked at, their structure seemed pretty solid from the surface, because you're not really actually there, you're seeing it. One seemed a little bit looser, like they had their own kind of, like the boss was never there. Mm-hmm. And then one, even though the boss was there, it was just like super laid back, and it was just kind of like whatever. Like there was really like no rules or no structure. So it was kind of interesting to see three different types of structure. And I feel like ours is company is really well structured. Like we have a great education program. But there was things that I thought we could really tighten up and just kind of like fine tune.
Are there a few that you want to mention?
Sure. Do you want to talk about some of them, John? Or?
Well, I think one thing that was interesting to me was that the stylists at one salon were using only the professional tools that they sell. Where at our salon, we've given people the freedom, I guess, to use the tools they want because we don't supply them. We used to, but we don't anymore because they weren't always taken care of. They were, you know, destructive and not maintaining them well. But I thought it was as simple as the idea is. It just was kind of an eye opener. Is that why don't we use the tools that we sell? And we do for product, but not for blow dryers, not for, you know, irons, any brushes, anything that, you know, we weren't supplying to them. Yeah. So I was like, that's something that I thought was, you know, really important, was just, you know, part of branding is use everything that you sell, use it, you know, so you can talk about it and, you know, opposed to just using whatever and then trying to sell someone a different brand blow dryer.
Right.
It didn't make sense. So
would you make money also from that?
Oh yeah.
Like, are you making money now with the tools that you're selling to the salon stylist?
No, because they don't usually buy them through us.
No.
Okay.
This way we can actually one, make it all consistent, and then two, yeah, we can actually, we're not trying to make money off of our staff, but we'll basically give it to them at cost or just above cost to make sure that it pays for the taxes and make sure that it pays for shipping. But we want them to have the same tools. But in the long run, it'll give us more retail revenue because of the
volume.
Because of the volume and because they'll be using it.
Yeah. You know? And then they're very familiar with the products.
Yeah. Because if you're using the tool, you're going to talk about it, and next thing you'll know, people are like, oh, I'm going to buy one.
Yeah. So it has many different benefits.
It has a lot of different
benefits. And you could use the tools as an incentive, too, exactly. You know, for those who do really well in the education program.
We actually do have a rewards program that we have had going for now almost a year. But it's just getting to that point right now where people are accumulating enough points where they can redeem them for those type of, you know, tools. And the way they get these points is by selling retail. For, you know, every dollar they sell, they get points. They get it for anniversary dates. They get it for birth dates. So just a couple different ways we can reward them. So,
yeah.
And also, you know, make sure they have nice tools to use.
Exactly. Because
sometimes it's hard for people to, you know, invest in themselves, in their tools.
Yeah. And I can see where it would have the branding effect, too.
Yeah.
Where everybody's a little more uniformified.
Exactly.
And it's a little more uniform.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you'd like to fine-tune after your visit to San Francisco?
I don't know. We had dinner with one of the salon owners, talked to him quite a bit, and, you know, we're just talking about cancers in the business and why holding on to people that aren't good for the business.
Oh.
You know,
even if they are like one of your top.
Right. Even if they're money producers, but everything else is not good about them and what they bring to the team. And, you know, we're employee based. We're not just a chair rental, show up and do what you want and leave. You know, we have expectations. We all, you know, we don't hold our staff accountable, really. We try to get our staff to hold each other accountable. So when someone isn't working with the team, it really affects the whole team. And, you know, it's for us to know when to step in and, you know, cut the cord if we have to. And we've done that. And sometimes it's a hard thing, especially if they're a money producer. But at the end of the day, it really makes for a better work environment. And so that's another thing that, you know, just we've done it in the past. It was just a good reminder, like, don't hold on to somebody. I mean, we believe in giving people chances, probably too many chances. I don't hire people to fire people. I want to invest in them. We are already investing in them, education, everything. Mm-hmm. So how much we put into them, I don't want to just, it's hard to say, oh, you know, we made a mistake and now we're just going to, you know, take the loss. But that's a hard pill to swallow, but sometimes you got to do it. And that's one of those things that just reminded ourselves that we have to do that when it's right. So
yeah. And that people need a certain amount of people skills and emotional intelligence to really be able to contribute to the overall atmosphere of the team.
Correct.
Yep.
Very good. All right. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was an awesome trip.
Yeah.
And then just the usual planning 2016 or whatever year we're coming out and just
budgets,
going through budget and all the other stuff that goes along with that.
Okay. Anything alarming? Or do you feel like that you need to shore up relatively quickly?
No, I mean, we just at a point where we're just trying to decide what our next step is, really, as far as growth goes. I mean, we have room to grow within our St. Paul shop because we've been there for 4 years. And
it's been 4 years.
Quite a bit of space, but it's filling in rather nicely. It's been very, very successful, and it's been a good year. And
it was surprisingly, it was a really, really good year.
Yeah. And then our Minneapolis shop is just trying to decide where to go from there. We have a younger staff over there, and just deciding, you know, what the next step is there is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
But things are going great, so it's just kind of how we can improve on them.
Yeah.
So,
What would you like Moxie Hair Salon to be when it grows up? So you had just mentioned, 2 seconds ago about you're looking at how to grow the Minneapolis salon and the St. Paul salon, and both of them you grow differently because of the makeup of the salons, the location. The Minneapolis one has a little longer history. That's also where you have your education program. So there's a younger staff that's kind of training there. So should we start with one salon and talk about the vision there, or do you want the overall vision to be connected with a united vision of both?
I think it's got to be kind of united, because it becomes this. We have this is the question that we have, and this is something that we actually talked a lot about on our trip. Is just kind of like, where do we want to grow and how do we want to grow? Because we have our uptown location, which is more, I hate to say a training salon, but it kind of is a training salon. And because of that, it doesn't pull always the numbers that we want to see, per dollar square foot, it's not doing what we always want it to do. And part of it's because of the size of the space. And so we're kind of like, we have to look at the whole picture first before we can break down each individual salon. I think like the Grand Avenue salon, it's doing well, it's stable, it needs us to stay on its path. It's got a good, and I think
you're that's in the groove.
It's in a good groove, and I think we don't want, that's like something we want to just keep feeding it, let it get a little, let it just grow and just kind of do its thing.
Let it get a little moxie.
Exactly. There you go. I got some moxie. We can give it some. but I think like the uptown location is a little bit more of an anomaly, and this is where John and I are having the struggles. Like, what do we do? For a few different reasons. I mean, do you mind if I go talk more about it, John? Okay. So like in a year, our lease is up for this location. So that tells us, one, we have to decide what we're going to do with that location, whether we stay there or whether we move into a different location. As we said, that space is a little big for what we're in, for where we're at right now. So it's kind of like, do we keep that, stay in that location and keep it as a training salon? And do we open a third location somewhere else? Or is it better just to move that location to a different place? And this is where sometimes we have the question is like,
wait, the lease is up in St. Paul or Minneapolis?
Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
Minneapolis location.
I misunderstood you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Minneapolis.
No, St. Paul's
steady. When you said
Saint
training,
Paul,
yeah, then I'm like, wasn't that the Minneapolis?
Yeah, no,
but I thought, okay.
St. Paul's steady. We're just going to let that one grow. And, the overall vision, I mean, if we go back to like some of our original, back to the basis of what our goal is in the beginning, it's to like, we wanted to grow and be a city-based salon. So we started off, originally we wanted to do just small little boutique-y shops and grow from there, but we found that it was better to have a little larger location. So then we moved and we've kind of grown into two larger locations. Now we're looking at how everything's moving, and it's like, well, we want to make a jump. We want to like either open another location in one of the inner ring circle suburbs or into the outer suburbs or possibly into the other city. We want to be able to make a change and a move because we're feeling kind of stuck.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're not sure when to do that. I mean, well, we do know when to do it. We're not ready to do it. We're not ready to do it because both salons aren't at the 75% capacity that we want them to be at before we expand. But we have this interesting dilemma of having our lease up, which means we can either move into a smaller location, we could stay where we're at, or we could just build a brand new location somewhere else. And we're trying to figure out how we want it to grow. But ultimately, I think growth, I'd like to see one in Minneapolis, one in St. Paul, one in between, and then one or two out in the suburbs, or three or four, and then sell it, and then retire in Hawaii.
Okay, so
that's my goal.
All right. Well, let's just put that down right now. So you've got Minneapolis in between salon, St. Paul salon, and how many other salons move into the suburbs?
Yeah, move into the suburbs and probably do about 3. I think that would be ideal. Or more if it happens.
So 3 for sure. Yeah. Okay.
That's my ultimate
and vision. And then sell?
Yeah, and then eventually sell and retire.
Okay. And John, what's your vision?
It's actually really in line with that. I've always just wanted to keep growing and but you know, do it right and you know, I'm pretty conservative when it comes to making that jump. You know, I want to make sure Stephen talked about being 75% booked. You know, but it is an interesting dilemma with this, the lease coming up here, because the space isn't really functioned so well for us. But it's about just making the right move. But, you know, ideally it's, you know, to have both salons up in a really good spot. You know, in the past, in the 15 years, 16 years we've done this, it always seems that one salon's down, one's up, one's down. It's never both up at the same time for consistent a long time.
Yeah.
But I feel really confident about Grand right now and being that finally where we need it to be. So that's a great feeling, but now it's just deciding what we want to do with Minneapolis. But yeah, I think just continually to grow and grow out and... And
do you have a number that you're thinking about in the suburbs?
Yeah, I mean, I think what Steven said is good. 2 to 3 or so is as much as people will have us. I mean, if we go and the branding's right and, you know, the customers are there, and I mean, I wouldn't stop, you know, but, you know, obviously growth, you got to, you know, make sure that you have the right people in place, and especially with education and things that Steven can't do that at 8 salons. So, I mean, it's the part of growth is making sure that we have the right people who continue to grow with us so that we can hand them, you know, the keys to the car and say, here you go, you know, because that's really, and that's why I always want to continue to work with our staff and empower them and give them training and ability to keep doing our jobs and learning our jobs so that they can do it. So that him and I can, you know, step away and work on our next venture. So I think that's the only way you can ever grow is by let stuff go. So, but yeah, that's our goal, just continue to grow. And, you know, I think the other big challenge for us is just making sure it's, you know, when you're dealing with our business and stylists, it's, you can't just say, hey, we're going to open a salon out here in the suburbs and hire 6-7 new stylists who don't know your system or worked in your salon just because you open a salon out there, and then expect all these customers are going to come in and work, and it's going to work.
Yeah,
you have to build up to it, and that's the challenge. So we have to build team and customers that are ready to be planted there. And so we don't want to jump right suburbs 10 miles, 15 miles away. You got to kind of slowly build out that way. Sure. So I think he talks about gapping the cities, you know, building a gap between the cities is a good idea, and then slowly expanding outwards. That is the way I envision it too. And yeah, I don't know. I don't see my daughters being stylists, maybe, or maybe they want to own the salon someday.
My kids,
but I would, you know, I have no problem selling it. Hopefully, maybe, you know, I'd love to sell it to some employees of mine.
Yeah.
You know, get them to start owning it down the road. Some sort of sharing or something down the road, or, you know, release our responsibility so much and always being involved, and hopefully make, you know, sail off into the sunset. I mean, who doesn't want to do that? I mean, but, you know, you just, nothing's going to come to you. We just have to kind of, that's our vision, and just go with it. So.
Well, and I think, the hardest part is being united in your vision, right? And if you're there with that, then you can slowly start developing the infrastructure and the plan to kind of make it happen, because then you're going to also attract a group of people if you want to transition your employees into becoming owners. That's another opportunity for those who are a little more entrepreneurial that you were wondering about.
Exactly.
Instead of them going off to start their own salons, that maybe you could start with the intention, once you have this solidified, to start building that in.
Yeah, it's always been an interesting thing. We've always talked about it, and we've always tried to get people involved with, what would you say, leadership and management and, like, helping each other. But it's an interesting – stylists are an interesting breed of people, and I can say that since I am one. It's like they're so fickle. It's just a tricky, tricky, tricky thing. And
yeah.
It's because there's a lot of ego involved in the hair business, and that ego gets in the way, because especially if someone's trying to coach them on, like, hey, here's how I want you to do this. And whether it's like doing hair or whether it's running the business or whether it's managing people. And once once you have challenges with this, is where I get disappointed, because they'll be like, yeah, I want it. Next thing you know, bye. I'm going to open my own salon.
Yeah, so it's pretty shocking when that happens.
It just happens a lot, and you kind of learn to get a little numb from it. But it's kind of like it does happen, and it's kind of amazing. And you people have gone open salons that we have never thought would. I mean, I think have you?
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. There's been a few of them where I'm like, really, you're gonna open a salon? Good luck. And some of them have done really well, and some of them have not. So it's kind of like I try to help them. We want to help them. We'd rather have them help within our own company. So we'd like to do that.
I'm just not sure how to do it.
Yeah. Okay. I think this is a good stopping point. I just feel that you've done some really great sharing. I hope we've relieved some of the pressure and the stress that you're feeling to put it out into a place that we can kind of sort it out, so it's out of your head and out of your heart and out of your body, so that you can start with kind of looking toward the vision and start putting the infrastructure in place. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks again.
Yeah, thanks so
our listeners. Thanks, yeah. Mike Bea, our sound engineer. Big smile on his face. So, our listeners, thanks for being here, and I'll see you next Monday.